this famous story of Jacob and Esau is here for us to meditate how God works through ambiguity. What Jacob did was a sin, and yet it garnered him the blessing of his father, which God wanted him to have, and through him finally comes the Messiah. But it's another example of the way the Lord let all this happen so that no one could feel that he was cut off from the Messiah, Jew or Gentile, because he's not born of a good family. If you look at the genealogy in Matthew, for instance, all the crooks that are there, and there's something wrong with every one of the women. You know, Ruth was a Moabite. What was her name? Tamar was a prostitute. I mean, on purpose, so that we would have heart. He's not ashamed of us. If we'll just turn to him, acknowledge our sin, and receive his blessing and the fruit of his blood. So we have this long, intricate tale, all started with Rebecca, right? She overheard and said, well, I want my son to be the one. And probably sensitive to the blessing too. So the whole thing is to encourage us. If we give our heart and mind to God today, no matter what the ambiguity in our life, we can be saints. And we can have a significant role in God's plan for this world. It doesn't go on how great we are. It goes on the mercy of God. And if we want to just turn our lives over to the mercy of God, then he will also bring us, you know, to play a part in this plan of his for the salvation of the world. Sin is not the obstacle. Lack of repentance is the obstacle. And then, you know, when they're picking the readings, they didn't skip this one. You know, the people planning the lectionary, the Holy Spirit let them know he wanted it in there. Now we have in the gospel, disciples of John, that's the Baptist. Why do we and the Pharisees, the other Jewish group, fast much, but your disciples do not fast? Now listen to the answer. Can the wedding guests mourn so long as the bridegroom is with them? What is Jesus saying about himself? He's the bridegroom. That's the bridegroom you find throughout the whole of the Old Testament as Adonai, as God. Now, he's inviting them with this marvelous gentleness and wisdom that he has. So, you're the bridegroom? Yes. He's hoping, you know, to win them over. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. One of the other texts is singular, the day will come, because we fast on Friday, which was the day when the bridegroom is taken away, even though he comes back. And so, in other words, the old covenant is the whole means by which God brought us the Christ. But now it's completed by the new covenant. But that doesn't mean that you throw the old away. You see? But on the other hand, you can't patch an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, new cloth, because they're incompatible. And if you try to make them one big happy piece of garment, you'll tear the whole thing. The New Testament is not just a continuation of the Old Testament. It's a lifting of the whole thing to another level. Why? Because the eternal Son of God became man, walked among us, spoke to us, finally died in an act of love, taking all our sins so that the world could be made new. So things are new. You just can't go on with the old stuff. That's why you don't try to patch the old cloth with a new one. You see? For the fullness pulls away from the cloth and the tear gets worked. Same with new wine. New wine is going to ferment and give off gas. And if you have it in an old skin, it's going to just blow the thing apart. Think of the creativity of the Son of God's mind. He's divine. He has infinite knowledge. And yet he finds a way to explain to us what's going on. I'm bringing new doctrine. I'm bringing a whole new vision of God. We are triune. I am the eternal, equal Son of God. Now you can't put that as such into the Old Testament. It'll explode it. But you can take the Old Testament up into the New so that it provides this basis. You see? Look, I mean, didn't this Old Testament text today help you see? Because who finally clothes himself to look like Esau? Jesus. He takes on our humanity and he dies in it. You see? And therefore, we all receive the blessing because he inherited it and he poured it out. And that's Pentecost. And so, it's wonderful what the Lord is trying to teach us, isn't it? He's saying, look, your lives are not doing badly, but you've got to get newness into your life. You've got to have my Spirit moving you all day. You've got to surrender yourselves. Just look outside. How many people in this poor country, to say nothing of the rest of the world, know me? You can see what's happening all around you. I mean, greater and greater corruption, either happening or being manifested. How long can this go on? Who's running this country? Satan. That's why all these things to make the Christians, and especially the Catholic Church, ill at ease, off guard. The health mandate and the abortion mandate and all the rest. We have to have a new wineskin of our heart to hold the new wine that the Lord wants to give us now for the sake of the church and the sake of all mankind. Why do you think he had this pope elected? New wine. It won't fit into the old wineskin of the Curia, so he's changing it. It's new wine. So are we, if we want it. And just that means just, you know, we're working so hard these days, rightly so, to get ready to evangelize. Maybe team up with John Neumann to evangelize. That's new wine. Right? How many people have been preoccupied with evangelization in the last 5 or 10 years in this community? Zip. We got new wine now. But we have to have a new wineskin. We got to look at our lives and change. Let the Lord change us where we have to change. We have to start to share the Lord's preoccupations. And the best way to do that is to be consecrated to the Mother of God and really take that seriously. Give her permission to change us as much as we should be changed. And she'll do it. we don't know how fast or how bad things are going to go. But we do know that we who are here on a Saturday morning, hearing this word, getting ready to feed on the body and blood of Christ, we have a responsibility. And we have to pray and listen and be ready. Be ready to help, to tell people. Tell people who God is. Most people are so afraid of God, aren't they? The last thing they want is to hang around with God. And yet, He made us, He saved us, He loves us. He's renewed the church at Vatican II, and with the renewal, and now with all the rest that's going on, so that the church can be the place where people can learn about God the Father and who He really is, and weep and change and start to treat one another like human beings.